Okay, we're continuing with our reading. Those that would care to stand for reading of Numbers chapter 3, please do so. Numbers chapter 3. Now these are the records of the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These then are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father Aaron. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near, and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, to do the service of the tabernacle. They shall also keep all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, along with the duties of the sons of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall thus give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him from among the sons of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, that they may keep their priesthood. But the layman who comes near shall be put to death." Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, "Number the sons of Levi by their fathers' households, by their families. Every male from a month old and upward you shall number." So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, just as he had been commanded. These then are the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei. And the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Ishar, Hebron and Uziel. And the sons of Merari by their families, Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their fathers' households. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. And these were the families of the Gershonites. Their numbered men, and the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, even their numbered men, were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward, and the leader of the fathers' households of the Gershonites was Eliseph, the son of Lael. Now the duties of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle and the tent, its coverings, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the court, which is around the tabernacle, and the altar and its courts, according to all the service concerning them. And of Kohath was the family of the Amorites, and the family of the Isharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These were the families of the Kohathites. In the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, there were 8,600 performing the duties of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath were to camp on the southward side of the tabernacle, and the leader of the father's households of the Kohathite family was Eliphaz, the son of Uziel. Now their duties involved the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, and the utensils of the sanctuary with which they minister, and the screen and all the service concerning them. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was the chief of the leaders of Levi, and had the oversight of those who performed the duties of the sanctuary. Of Merari was the family of the Mahlites and the family of the Mushites. These were the families of Merari. Their numbered men in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward were 6,200. And the leader of the father's households of the family of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihal. They were to camp on the northward side of the tabernacle. Now the appointed duties of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, all its equipment, and the service concerning them, and the pillars around the court with their sockets and their pegs and their cords. Now those who were to camp before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting toward the sunrise, are Moses and Aaron and his sons, performing the duties of the sanctuary for the obligation of the sons of Israel. But the laymen coming near was to be put to death. And all the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the command of the Lord by their families, every male from a month old and upward, were 22,000. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Number every firstborn male of the sons of Israel from a month up old and upward, and make a list of their names, and you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the sons of Israel." So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded him. And all the firstborn males, by the number of names from a month old and upward, for their numbered men, were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites instead of the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for the ransom of the 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel, who are in excess beyond the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels apiece per head. You shall take them in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs, and give the money, the ransom of those who are in excess among them, to Aaron and to his sons." So Moses took the ransom money from those who were in excess, beyond those ransomed by the Levites, from the firstborn of the sons of Israel. He took the money in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, 1,365. Then Moses gave the ransom money to Aaron and to his sons at the command of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Numbers 3:13. "For all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." This morning's reading deals with the fact of the choosing and the numbering of the tribe of Levi. They were not numbered according to the manner of the rest of the tribes, because they were specially chosen by God unto himself. Due to their willingness to serve God at whatever cost, they were set apart as holy unto the Lord. Notice that all the other tribes were ordered to encamp around the tent of meeting at a distance. Their placement was very definite, but their duties were not so defined. The families of the Levites, however, were specifically set close to the tent of meeting as a buffer and a safety cushion for all the rest of the nation of Israel. Not only that, but each family was given a precise task within the functioning of the holy things of God. This is something that presents to us a most elevated view of the work of God and His majesty and operation in His people. Never let us just read through His account and detailed manifestation without considering the fundamental reality so represented. As was indicated in our introduction, God's glory is fully shown within the details of this book. And the overall detail before us is that the people were ordered and were arranged with such specificity. This was a throng of slaves who had just been released from their bondage. They were not a nation. They were a liberated rabble of desperate and disparaged human chattel that God was organizing into a people who would become a mighty nation in the land of His promise. They were organized and marched and ordered and counted as a nation which emerged from field hands and laborers and shepherds only by the grace of God. Returning then to the distinction of the Levites from the rest of the nation, the census of the Levites was every male from 1 month of age and upward. All the other males of the nation were counted from 20 years of age and upward. The reason for the older age of the rest of the tribes was that these were the men who could go into battle as warriors. However, the Levites were not so ordained. Rather, they were specifically chosen as the servants of Aaron for the sake of the religious duties required to keep all the sacraments and ordinances and obligations and necessities associated with the sacred and holy duties on behalf of the whole nation. As well, choosing of the Levites by God was the redemption price for every firstborn of the rest of the nation. As we're told in this morning's reading, God required the firstborn male of every womb, both of the people as well as the herds and flocks. This was a stipulated requirement, as signified by the final plague in Egypt, which secured the release of the children of Israel. While every firstborn of Egypt died, every firstborn of Israel was redeemed unto the Lord by the blood of the Passover lamb. For all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. This was so important in the understanding of what God had accomplished in the redemption of His chosen people that it is emphasized in a number of scriptures, including Exodus 13:2. Exodus 13:2. Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me. God would have His own. He deserved nothing less for the manner in which He had caused the Egyptians to not only release Israel, but to load them down with all the gold and wealth that they could carry. God's tremendous omnipotence was to be honored by the first fruits of the womb. However, God was not to be dealt with like the horrid aspects of humanity's vile imaginations, which resulted in the sacrifice of firstborn children to the idols and the demonic gods of the surrounding nations. The Lord God Almighty made the provision for the firstborn to be redeemed. Redeemed as the nation had been redeemed from Egypt. It was through the Levitical tribe that this was accomplished. Accordingly, it was now the Levites who represented that redemption of the firstborn for the whole nation. The count of the Levites corresponded with the count of the firstborn males of the rest of the nation. For this purpose, those firstborn males were as well counted from 1 month old and upward. While we do not want to get caught up in the numbers, it does represent something to consider when we look at the total Levites with regard to the total of the national census. There were 273 more males that were to be redeemed than there were Levites. So those excess males were redeemed by the payment of 5 shekels apiece, which was the cost of 1 boy slave. The suggested significance of this is that the number atoned for by the Levites represented the nation as a whole, while the excess redemption represented the deliverance of the individual. God's redemption covers both the whole of His congregation of believers as well as each individual person. It is the glorious, elemental, foundational bedrock of our understanding of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. He cares for His corporate people, And he cares for the very specific individual whom he has chosen unto himself. All of this presents to us the truth of the eternal plan and purpose of God in the fact of his firstborn and only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything revolves around the reality that God had set into motion the manner in which he would ultimately bring into place his redemptive process that would establish a living relationship with his people, his church, and each individual member of his family. The psalmist highlights for us in Psalms 89, 1 through 5, the prophetic announcement that what was presented through the type of the Levitical redemption of the firstborn would usher in not only the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer, but that God's work would stand for all of eternity. It would not be a temporary and fleeting familial monarchy, but one that would last forevermore. Psalms 89, 1 through 5. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens will praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. Notice the emphasis on the fact that the assembly of the holy ones will praise God's faithfulness. That assembly of the holy ones are all those whom he has redeemed and made holy by his awesome work. His faithfulness will be recounted and exclaimed and declared by those whom God has chosen unto himself and made holy. These are those firstborn who belong to him alone, firstborn through the majestic working of his awesome power manifested in the very giving of his only begotten Son, the truly firstborn of all creation. In Psalms 89, verses 24 through 29, Christ is again in view through the declaration of his sovereignty by the psalmist. Psalms 89, 24 through 29, and my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him, and in my name his horn will be exalted. I shall also set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. This is such a glorious announcement, an affirmation of what will be eternally evident for all of creation in Jesus Christ. It is in him and by him that all those covered by his shed blood will give him glory and praise and allegiance and loyalty and reverence and honor and fidelity forever and forever. He is the firstborn, And we are brought before God as His own through the redemption that only the Lord Jesus Christ has established, so powerfully and fully incorporating us into the very family of God. The Gospel of Luke highlights this fact of Christ's preeminence of firstborn holiness in Luke 2:22-24. And when the days for their purification, according to the laws of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jesus' earthly parents followed through with the custom of their heritage in honoring God with the dedication of their firstborn as holy unto the Lord. In their case, however, those sacrifices indicating the holiness of the first son was the means of the indication that the full measure of what this entailed had come to fruition. This was the firstborn of God who would redeem myriads upon myriads of people through His obedient death on the cross at Calvary. In Acts 20:18, there is the encouragement to all the overseers of the assembly of the redeemed to give constant and complete attention to the manner in which the church is guarded and is guided and is taught, because we are precious to God by virtue of the supreme cost of our redemption. Acts 20:18. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. As we're told in Hebrews 12:22-24, this then brings us full circle to the fact that in Christ we are the first fruits, God's own people. We are holy unto Him in Jesus Christ, covered by His own holy blood. We are sanctified, and the price of our redemption is fully met by the true firstborn. In terms of the Levitical purchase and the price of our salvation and deliverance from sin and death, God has paid it for us, and He has made us His own. Hebrews 12:22-24. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. We are the church of the firstborn, and we are enrolled in heaven. We are partakers of the new covenant of Christ's blood, which fulfilled and set aside that old covenant of animal sacrifice and blood which could do nothing more than temporarily assuage the wrath of God. All those who have called upon the name of Jesus and have received the freely offered gift of salvation that is found only in the beloved and firstborn Son of God have free and unfettered access to the very throne of God to our Heavenly Father. We know that we belong to Him and that we are desired in His presence through the glorious work of Jesus. He knows our name. He knows our needs. He knows our every deed and action and thought. And yet He so loves us that He has purchased us unto Himself without hesitation. As a matter of fact, even before we were born, He knew us and made this way of our salvation to be in effect, permanent and unhindered and unmerited. We can't earn it, we don't deserve it, and we can't buy it. Only by grace, in the name of Jesus Christ, does He bestow it upon us, saving us from ourselves. Our Lord Himself expressed the joy that should be ours in the truth of our so glorious and miraculous salvation in Luke 10:20. Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That rejoicing is what should be an evidence in our hearts and minds and thoughts and beings as we so consider the manner in which God has claimed us as His own. Our names are recorded in His book of life because we are His and His alone. Through the joyous wonder of His saving grace, we come before Him in love and in rejoicing because He has saved us unto Himself. In James 1:17-18, Brother James re-emphasizes this truth, that we are the first fruits of Jesus' labor, meaning that we belong to God, holy and righteous, through our redemption in Jesus. James 1:17-18. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among His creatures. We are the church of the firstborn, the first fruits, wholly belonging to God, only by the exercise of His will in our lives. It can never be sufficiently, nor fully, nor emphatically proclaimed that our placement into His family, our redemption, our sanctification, our glorification is all and only by the gift of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. He is the essence and the substance of why we are so loved as God's own people. So be it. For all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. Amen.